Our apologies, guys. There was a little glitch on the internet side, but we are back again.
Can you switch to this?
Right here.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We're back again. So as of September, our gross loan portfolio stands at 16,539 crores. We are close to 38 lakh borrowers. We are present in 333 districts. We have close to 1,700 branches. We have an employee strength of 16,018 employees, out of which loan officers comprise of 10,826. Our first half PAT stands at 316 crores. And as I said, we are focused purely on rural, which is like, completely underpenetrated. We know that only 9% of formal credit has reached rural India, and there's a very large space for us to operate. Thank you. Start moving. Next slide.
Any other slides?
Yeah. Okay, so Credit Access has a very long history. So we started as an NGO in 1999 and moved slowly towards, acquiring a license, NBFC license in 2007. We've got a very strong demonstrated performance all through the years. 2018, we went public. 2020, we acquired Madhura Microfinance. With that, we have a very strong presence in three key states today, Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, and Maharashtra. We operate in around 14 states and one union territory. We are growing constantly across the country. So a short update on the promoters. Credit Access India is the promoter of Credit Access Grameen Limited. They hold around 73.74%. Credit Access Grameen has two subsidiaries under them. One is Madhura Microfinance and Credit Access India Foundation. Madhura Micro Education, which is a subsidiary of Madhura Micro Finance, is dissolved as of October 31, 2020. So Credit Access India specializes in investments in microfinance sector. That is their primary focus. They operate in three countries: India, Philippines, and Indonesia. They comprise of around 253 shareholders. Marquee investors as a part of Credit Access India include Olympus with around 15% holding, Asian Development Bank around 8.76% holdings, and a few other large investors. We have around 249 other shareholders holding less than 5%. Credit Access India has been a very patient investor in Credit Access Grameen. They have stayed with us for a really long time. They have repeatedly demonstrated support all through COVID and demon and multiple years through the journey. So shareholding pattern as of September 2022, the promoter group has 73.74%. FPIs hold 9.33%, mutual funds and AIF at 10.23%, QIB 2.45%, and others at 4.25%. Credit rating, we are the best rated standalone microfinance company in the country today. We have a rating of AA- from India Ratings. ICRA and CRISIL are at A+ positive, which was A+ stable in FY22. So we also have comprehensive microfinance rating at M1, C1, which is the best. So I'll briefly run you through the business model. We believe Credit Access Grameen has a very differentiated business model compared to any other microfinance company. The key differentiators for us to list down: whatever we do is always customer-centric. Hence, we have built a set of products, well-researched set of products that cater to all needs that a customer can go through when they are associated with us. So resulting in a very strong customer loyalty. Around 43% of our customers only borrow from us, right? So, which is a significant number. We, like I said earlier, we also expand only through a contiguous district approach. So we will enter a new district once we reach a border. Similarly, we will also reach a new state only through this approach. So when we cross a district, that's how we cross into a new state. So giving us significant knowledge about that local area that we want to operate. And we have continuously invested in technology. We are one of the very few MFIs who got a CBS very early on. That has helped us deliver differentiated products, differentiated repayment mechanisms. Everything that our customer needs, the CBS solution has been able to give us a very big advantage. While we've changed many things in the traditional microfinance model, we continue to operate in the classical joint lending model, right? So this is the JLG model, and we continue to focus on that. The mode of delivery is a lot digitized today, but the core functions of how a group is formed, how it is appraised, what all goes through before lending and after lending is something that we continue to hold very close to our heart. Risk management in this business is very, fully integrated for us in all our operating processes. I will run you through some of this as we move forward. We have a very strong senior management team, internal audit and a control framework. So, these key differentiators and the focus of rural, we believe that last two decades, the company has been able to give you a very, very consistent and strong growth and is poised to take further growth over the next 5 to 10 years, focused on microfinance as we move forward. Right, so a little bit on our products to understand. So like I said, we have a very diverse product suite. So all needs of our customers, be it income generation, education, festival, medical emergency, water, sanitation. The concept is to offer all that a customer may need in different stages of their association with us and ensure that they don't have to really run around for all their needs. So we have tailor-made products. We have given flexibility in the loan sizes than the conventional model. It is possible that in the same group, customers could have different loan sizes basis their requirement, basis their ability to pay. So that is again unique in this business. We've also given a repayment flexibility. Our customers can choose weekly, bi-weekly, or a monthly repayment option basis their cash flow, right? So all this flexibility has resulted in a very strong customer retention. Credit Access has close to around 85% customer retention, which is also a very strong performance in the industry. So as discussed earlier, we only expand through a district-based approach. So that has given us very strong understanding of the newer geographies that we enter into with respect to understanding the economic situation, any other natural calamities that could happen, getting manpower. All that has helped us grow from different districts, but continue to maintain the quality of the portfolio as we grow. Right. So we also ensure that there is very strong diversification when it comes to districts around most of our branches. Right. So we don't have any district which has got more than 4% of the consolidated AUM. Most of our branches are less than 1%, 1.5% when we speak about the penetration of those levels. So again, technology, almost everything today is tech-driven. So is our business. So the complete onboarding journey is today digitized. We take the customer onboarding without a paper as far as possible. Only regulatory requirements are places where we hold paper. There's a conscious effort to make this more and more digitized. All our field staffs have tabs today for everything that they do, loan disbursement, collection, everything is digitized today. Like I said, because we have a CBS, we have a very strong flexibility. We have a very strong advantage in offering flexibility for our customers. So we are able to do cashless disbursement. Almost 100% of our disbursements are in cashless mode. And we have enabled the digital collection for customers who want to pay digitally. So that is future ready for us, we believe. So we have... this is something that we are continuously working, right? So we also have technology implemented in functions like audit, risk, all control functions also use technology very, very efficiently. So like I said, while how we offer has undergone a lot of change, the traditional JLG model, we continue to remain focused on. We take anywhere between 7 to 10 days before we can actually disburse a loan to a customer from the time she starts training with us. Right. So we spend enough time before we actually give money to the customer. We ensure that the groups are self-formed. We ensure that they live close by. We ensure that they are clear about how the loan should be utilized. So a lot of checks and balances goes in before we give money to the customer, right? So we also remain focused, like I said, rural. So that means you will have a set of livelihood activities, not just one in a particular family. So they are able to absorb shocks better. They are more focused on essential services. We've seen that help us all through COVID, etc. Right. So it's a very time-tested process. We continue to invest in improving this more with technology and make this a very strong business for us to move forward. So risk management is something that is very closely integrated with all our processes. Like we said, the district-based approach gives us a better balance in risk in identifying which geographies to operate, what are the social, economic, political, various risks that could come in entering a new geography. Right? And it shows we have a high quality growth. We have a very clear target segment. We are focused on rural. We are focused on low-income household. We ensure, like I said, it is self-formed groups. We ensure there is sufficient training, et cetera. We also do a significant amount of effort is going into customer due diligence. We do a five-day CGT. There is a GRT process. There is a 100% customer house visit, discussion with family members. We have a comprehensive bureau check that goes into the due diligence. The entire group is responsible for the borrowings, so they support each other in difficult times. We also today assess cash flows, giving us better visibility to what is happening because of the change in regulation. We have a very strong customer engagement model. We meet customers more than any MFI, so we meet our customers every week, right? So we meet 4 million women, 4 million households every week is a significant effort in developing a relationship with the customer. So you are there first to meet any of your customers' needs. You are meeting the customers more than any other MFI. So we've seen all of this consistently help us maintain a very strong relationship with our customers. We also have a very unique employee incentive structure. We don't incentivize our employees for disbursements or collections. It is more driven towards addition of new customers, process adherence, ensuring that customer servicing is of a certain standard. All of these are well monitored, well oiled. This has given very good advantage to us with respect to how the customer experience is in dealing with credit access. So this is one of the first things that our customers recall when we ask them what do they like about credit access, is about the culture, about how our employees deal with them. So that comes as their top retention, which is a very good illustration of this model. We also have an employee rotation policy, which takes care of various risks because we hire from the community that we lend to, right? So we ensure that we hire only freshers. We place them at least 50 kilometers away from the neighbor. We ensure that any field officer, which is your Kendra manager, first level officer, is rotated every year. They don't handle the same set of customers more than a year. We have rotation policies for layers, which are branch managers, et cetera. So, which is helping us maintain a very good quality of portfolio. Right, so we also, like we said, the business structure largely follows the traditional structure. You have branches managed by branch managers, area managers, regional, zonal, and business heads, right? So that's the business structure. However, we have we hire only fresh. We put them through very, very strong training process before they are put in the field. Even when they are deployed to branches, we handhold them for at least 3 months before they start handling customers on their own. So which has resulted in very strong employee loyalty also towards the company, the kind of incentives, the kind of growth, our internal job promotion policies, etc., result in a very high retention rate for us. Like we said, we have a very strong risk management culture, which is supported by internal audit, quality control, and field risk teams. Our first layer of defense is always the business team. The business supervisors ensure continuous monitoring of various things that we do. Supported by these three functions, we have one of the highest number of control structures in the MFI industry, right? So each of my branch goes through 6 audits every year, right? So every field officer has a risk score, every field officer has an audit score. So all of that is very, very unique for us. The internal audit team is a very strong, close to 300-350 member team. We have a quality control team, which is the business support team, which is a self-audit team within business, right? So they are actually present at ground all the time. They have a set of branches where they go and visit. They travel with the Kendra managers, meet customers, go to every center to ensure that even before an auditor can tell you, gaps, there is a proactive team within business which focuses on process, which focuses on practices, etc. Because it is a fully process-driven business. It has to be continuously reinforced. The field risk team, which reports into the CRO, also does independent checks. They do field visits. They check all internal processes. So it's a very, very strong audit and risk structure, both self-audit, like I said, internal audit and risk teams. All of them complement what we want to achieve with respect to balancing how we do business. Right. So as we speak, we are present in 14 states and one union territory. We are there in 333 districts with 1,684 branches. Our very strong states today are Karnataka, Maharashtra, Tamil Nadu, and MP. However, the other states will catch up because close to 50% of our new acquisition is happening from the newer states. So we will see that over the next few years, the mix of the concentration will continuously keep changing, which is a very, very desired output for us. Yes, so this is one more focus area for us. We have a very strong positive ALM. We focus on increasing this much better. So hence we are diversifying into long-term fundings, international borrowings, borrowings from development finance institutions, which will increase our positive ALM as we move forward. So if you see our performance strength, we've been able to give a CAGR of 18% on portfolio. We've been able to give a 8% CAGR on branch network. Borrower growth has been timid around 3% compared to FY20. It's a negative, but we are able to add significant number of customers post-COVID. So the last first quarter was timid, as you know, because of change in regulation. But from Q2, we think we are on track. We are poised to increase our customer base as per our vision. So this is a presentation of how our state mix are. So like I said, our diversification with respect to branches, with respect to borrowers, state are steadily changing, and it will diversify further over the next few years. So you could see that from FY20, if you see the portfolio in Karnataka has dropped to 36%. From 40% in a span of 2-3 years. So this is something that will continue to change as we increase our penetration in newer geographies. So again, revenues, we have been able to give a CAGR of 27%. FY22, we had 2,750 crore of total revenue. Our NIM stands at 10.9% for FY22. PAT of 357 crores and earnings per share at 23.22 in FY22. So again, repayment rate, FY22 post-COVID, the recovery has been very strong and stable compared to any other industry. We are noting that the microfinance industry has been able to come up very, very strong. FY22 on a consol basis, we were at 93.19, much better when you look at standalone. We continue to improve this further. Q2, we were at around 98% collection efficiency. So we are seeing a very strong comeback. So we have a very strong net worth again, around 4,000 crores in FY2022. Very strong capital adequacy at 25.87 FY22. Sorry. So thank you for the opportunity. I'm going to pass this on to my colleague, Balakrishna Kamath, the CFO, to help us understand details about this. Thank you.
Thank you, Ganesh. Good afternoon, everyone. We'll take you through some of the salient features of the present tranche issue, which is going to open on the 14th next week. The lead manager is AK Capital, the debenture trustee is Catalyst. We have got the rating of AA- from India Ratings. The legal counsel was Khaitan and Company. The banker to the issue is ICICI Bank. Our auditors are Deloitte and PK Sridhar and Santanam. They're the joint auditors. And the RTA is K FinTech. Now, moving on to some of the key highlights of the issue, we are going to issue secured, listed, redeemable, non-convertible debentures with a AA- rating with stable outlook, for which we had 1,500 crores approval. But this present tranche, which is tranche number one, would be of 500 crores with a base size of 250 crores and a green shoe option of 250 crores. The issue schedule is it opens on 14 November and the last date of closing would be 2nd December with a probable early closure in case of good subscription. Security cover wise, we are given 110% security cover and there are certain other features of covenants which are normal for the industry. Now, moving on to the various options, it has been specifically designed keeping in mind the requirement of retail investors because we want to bring more retail investors to our company. We already equity listed. We want to be, also grow on the debt side. The retail investors need to be given all the necessary options. So accordingly, we have kept the minimum application size very low at only 10,000 rupees, which is 10 NCDs, for which the face value is 1,000 and thereafter in multiples of 1,000. The tenor has been fixed at various options, 24 months, 36 months, 60 months, and we are given attractive coupon of 9.45 for 24 months, 9.6 for 36 months, and 10% for 60 months. The effective yield is much higher, and the redemption amount is also considering various options, and we also have given a cumulative option as well. The maturity, as already mentioned, is 2 years, 3 years, and 5 years, depending on the need of the investor. We don't have any follow-up put options. That's about it. With this, I hand it back to India Bonds to take you through the further process.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Now that we have understood the very important structure that the public issue of NCD, secured NCD is coming, now let's evaluate how as an individual investor you can apply to this NCD using India Bonds as a platform. So the first and the foremost basic thing is log on to India Bonds website. You have to sign up. If you are not signed up yet, log on to India Bonds website, sign up. You have an option to go through via the product menu, which is through public issue, or on the landing page, there is a dedicated banner which is running for new public issue of NCD, which is Credit Access Grameen Limited. It is a very, very simple 4-step process to apply via using India Bonds platform. The first and the foremost thing is you have to select the investor category type. By and large, largely the investors are retail and HNI, which are categorized to category 3 and 4 are defined for retail and HNI category. Retail being category 4, up to 10 lakh rupees as an investment amount is categorized as retail individual investors. Anything above 10 lakh for an individual investor is counted as HNI investor. First and foremost is you have to select which category of investment you are applying for. Retail and HNI. Once you have selected, the second is out of the 6 series or options which has just been informed by Mr. Kamath, you have to select which option you are inclined to. Now, this option depends upon your investment needs, whether you want to invest for 2 years, 3 years, or 5 year option. And then you want interest payment frequency on a monthly basis or a cumulative basis. Once you have decided these options, then you can select the amount or the number of NCDs you want to apply for. You can apply with as low as 10 bonds or 10 NCDs, one bond with facing having a face value of 1,000 rupees. And you can apply in multiples as in what amount you want. The retail application size up to 10 lakh rupees. And anything more than that, it is categorized as HNI application for individual category of investors. Once you have selected the series, The third option is you have to add in on your details. Your details like your PAN card details, your date of birth, further information which includes your address, city, mobile number if you want to add on. The most and important thing as an investor you have to keep in mind is you enter the correct DMAT account where you want to have your bonds credited. Fortunately, the biggest advantage of India Bonds platform is you can use any DMAT account with any depository participant, whether it's an NSDL or CDSL DMAT, you can select it and you can enter your DMAT details. Make sure that you enter the correct DMAT details while entering the application form and select the payment option. Up to 5 lakh rupees, it is UPI application is permitted. So you don't have to run through, take a printout of an application form. No check is required, only UPI application. You have to mention your UPI ID, verify your investment details. The amount has been mentioned correctly. The series has been selected correctly. Select on agree and terms and conditions. You can preview your form. A complete pre-filled application form will be available onto your screen. You can verify it. All the details are mentioned correct. Once you verify it, you have to just submit this application form. And that's it. Your application form is submitted and will be going for bidding in the exchange platform. You can download this application form for your preference, or you can even email it to yourself. This way, you can apply to public issue of NCD. Make sure that this is a NCD issue where first come, first serve is applicable. So earlier, the better. For India Bonds customers, we have kept this issue live right now. And even though the issue is opening on 14th of this month, November, you can still subscribe from the website and the application will be submitted to the exchange for bidding on 14th, the first day of application. So you will be the first mover advantage in terms of subscription of application form. Now, as any financial instrument, there is always a risk associated with it. So make sure that you go through with all the disclosure documents, make an informed decision. If you have a financial advisor, please get in touch with the financial advisor and take an informed decision. Market investments are subject to market risk. Please take informed decision. So that's about the public issue. Now we open the session for Q&A. Whatever questions you have, we have the eminent jury to answer all your questions. Sir, we already have a lot of questions and the participants are throwing us. I'll just start reading questions one by one.
Sure.
So the first question is by Mr. Utkarsh. What is the typical interest rate charged for the loan products?
For our customers.
For our customers.
So this is as per the new regulation, which is published by regulator somewhere in March. The interest rate has to be based on a transparent, published to RBI based on a board decided process. So we charge, it's based on risks, based on operation cost, based on cost of borrowing, based on cost of capital. So we charge based on all these things put together. We form the interest rate policy, which is published on our website also. So our average interest rate is around 20.5%, which ranges between 19.75% to 22.25%, based on the high risk states, high risk geography, a low risk customer or a high vintage customer. There are many components, but average yield is about 20.5%.
So I have a follow on question by Mr. Ravnish in the similar line. Please share average lending rate and NIMs for last 3 years. So I believe it was a part of the presentation, but yes.
It is part of the presentation, but yeah, you can actually refer to website also, but current NIM is about 12%. Average yield is about 20.5%. And last year is little low, between 10.5 to 11.5 last 2 years because of the COVID situation. There's a derecognition of income because of sudden delinquency. But our standard stable yield or NIM should be around 12%.
It's from my side. Do we have any headrooms for the NIMs to improve?
There is, because the new pricing will actually kicked in the last 2 quarters, but the entire benefit you will get only by 2 years' time. Okay. So there's another 50 bps in this potential
is
in the NIMs.
So one more question is, what are the three key risks that your team sees along with mitigation plans?
Okay, so one is credit risk, definitely. So that's we need to work on a constant basis because it's lending business. Second is operation risk, because this is a high operating model. So you have large number of employees, large number of geography you have to visit. You have to visit your customers every week. So the operation risk and the cost of operation changes. That is the second one. Third one is again interest and liquidity risks. Okay. Liquidity risk, because it's entirely dependent on raw material for this business is borrowing.
All right, yes.
So that is why we are trying to de-risk by going through this market, ECBs, the long-term funds, those kind of things.
So you're diversifying your borrowing profile.
Borrower profile to enhance the stable and long-term borrowing, which will de-risk our liquidity risk.
Fair. A very interesting question. Kindly share your plan to further improve the credit rating. And what is any ETA for that?
It's always a journey, you know. It's always a journey. One is we have to do consistently better always, which we are doing. But credit rating is not just one. I mean, our own company. It's depending on sector. It's upon the country. It's upon the whole environment. Many macroeconomic levels are also part of this credit rating. Therefore, while we can aspire, but we are already top in the credit rating. Whether it is grading or rating, both space, we are top in the standalone microfinance basis today. So we aspire to be definitely better as we go.
Yes, investors do understand if the credit rating improves much, then the yields will go down. From
also to add, the credit rating went up recently after the first quarter results from A+ to AA-.
Yes.
If any customer didn't pay the repayment, how do you take action legally?
Yeah, this is a recovery mechanism. This is micro finance, and we work with rural households. So normally the group which they formed would have taken care of any delinquencies. And if there is a real delinquency where customer not able to pay, they are migrated from that place, they have a difficulty in running business, they have what you call some family or a disease or some other issues, death, which always can result into defaults. So largely the group makes good of the money, but there are some genuine case where they're not able to pay. That is what you are seeing 0.8 to 1% of risks, which is not very high actually. While legally you can recover, but it's not worth doing it because small value, your average loan outstanding just 45,000 rupees. Your legal cost of recovering much more.
Much higher.
So, but it's more of a persuasion, continuously having connect with our customers and employee working with them closely in the group. That makes the recovery. So legally possible, but legally is not actually prohibitively costly to do.
Viable to.
Not viable.
Yeah.
Also to add here, it also affects the CIBIL score.
Correct.
So that is what.
Yeah. From recovery perspective, there are 3-4 components you have to see. One is, it is small loan they borrow, they're paying back very tiny amount at their doorstep. They're not coming to my office. We are going to their office. The loan is given to the most responsible woman in the house. And all these loans are tagged to CIBIL score. If they have default, the score will go for toss. So all these will make the microfinance is very sustainable and strong repayment pattern.
Thank you. There is a question by Mr. Pankaj, and he's asking, are these NCDs secured and backed by assets?
Yes. This is backed by receivables, as Kamath told. It's 1.1 time coverage of receivables as a security for these NCDs.
Yes, 110% cover for the loan as well as the interest component.
Correct.
Mr. Rajiv has asked, can we pay through net banking and with ASBA option instead of UPI? Yes, Mr. Rajiv, you can pay using the ASBA format. The only thing is, once the ASBA application form, you have to download this application form and submit to the nearest India Bonds branch location, or else a bond manager will get in touch with you and get it collected for the bidding. But ASBA application is possible. Please explain if TDS will be deducted at source. Atul Mishra. No, Atul, listed NCDs, there is no TDS applicable. This is not a bank FD. So there is no TDS applicable on the interest income earned on the NCDs.
it's taxable in the hands of investor.
It is taxable. The interest income is taxable in the hands of an investor. Mr. Murli Raghavan, what is the difference between coupon and effective yield in terms of interest payable? So the coupon is basically the rate of interest at which it will be calculated. Effective yield is on your investment, what will be the return you will make, considering the fact that the interest income is reinvested in a similar form for the same amount, for the same coupon rate. So investors have to make sure that interest coupon is the interest payment. Effective yield is what your return is for the investment duration you make. Mr. Sunil Jani, your shelf offer document mentions total issue size is 1500 crores. The current issue size is 500 crores. When are you looking at raising the balance 1000 crores?
Yeah, we wanted to understand the market first and see, as we told her, this is the first time any microfinance company coming into public issue. This is a first of a kind. So we expect this will be a huge success, and probably the success will help us to take one more step to and you come with a second plan, but maybe sometime later within maybe next. This is allowed for next 1 year time. So within that, we may be.
Mr. Abhinav will ask a question. Has there been any impact of recent inflation data numbers on the collection as well as lending? And any comments on the economic conditions and the impact you are observing on your business?
So we have not seen any correlation between inflation and our business, even earlier also, or even now also. And normally, this is more of a rural business where supporting the rural ecosystem. And we have not seen any bearing on the macroeconomic variation on these businesses. So there is nil or zero, what you call, impact because of this macro variations.
Okay. Mr. Kuldeep Kumar, but he has asked, the segment is socio-politically very sensitive. Hence, the recovery process needs to be made more transparent. What is the value at present of NPA?
See, this is always a very transparent collection process because this collection was made in front of 10 to 15 customers together. And also, we follow, we use core bank system to do all the data and transactions, and which is very highly regulated by regulator also. So therefore, there is not to worry about transparency in the system. Even pricing is based on the regulation. Of course, yes, this is socially relevant business. And earlier, there were cases of some third-party intervention, but it's actually reducing. Regulator also seeing this as very important business. That is why they have relaxed the regulations now, made it equal to banks and MFIs together, that which is valid. It's a validation on the maturity of this business, all this business. Therefore, we don't see a worry about the socio-political or a transparency issues in this business. Second part of the question is?
The second part was the NPA. What is the value of it for the NPA?
Yeah, the current NPA is about, gross NPA is about 1.74%. Sorry, 2.15%, and the net NPA is 0.77%.
Mr. Rajendran has asked.
It's 60 DP.
Sorry. We want to add here. When we say NPA, we treat NPAs 60 days default, not like 90 days for any other industry in this country. Probably we are the only institution identify the risk early and provide some. And we treat 15 days is a stage 2 what you call delinquency and provide it.
Oh.
Okay, that we are the early recognition of DPDs and risks.
So one more question, Mr. Rajendran. Are you vertical agnostic as far as the business or profession of the borrower? What is the range of loans, lowest and the highest loan value you have given out?
So we are not agnostic actually. We are very, very supportive as the customer become more vintage with us rather than business. Business may be anything because in the rural, it may be dairy, it may be goat, or it may be grocery, it may be anything, but it's more of a relationship building, more of a vintage with us. There we actually give them more money based on the previous record with us. That even though they are experienced with somebody else, we will not take that experience well. We start with us, our relation will make them a differentiation. Our highest lending is about 1.25 lakh for a customer with us more than 6 years. Similarly, the lowest may be about 40,000 rupees if they are, I mean, first time to us. But within that, there will be a even 1,000 rupee loan we give if there's a need. Okay, because everything for their life cycle need. If somebody wants urgently, I need 1,000 rupees today, we are ready to give that. Somebody wants 5,000 for medical expenses, we do give that. Education, let's say 10,000 rupees to admit the school, probably we do that. So our view is, microfinance is not just giving one loan and recover, instead of providing the full requirement of the family. So we go by that kind of perception.
And the average ticket size is 45.
Average is about today 45,000 per person.
So any mortgages involved in borrowing by the borrowers?
No, this is no secured, no guarantee, no papers, nothing.
It's all unsecured.
But that is more than secured by the woman of the house.
Yes. So there is a very active Mr. Prajwal has asked, will I continue to receive interest even if bond market or debt bubble busts?
Maybe I can, okay, you guys are good in bond market, but I can give an example that we have been here for 20 years and probably are you not only we, I'm seeing the microfinance industry for the last 2 decades. So I don't think any MFIs have defaulted to any of the lenders.
And so the
interest, this is one of the most resilient business one year in India, even during COVID. If you see, even during COVID, you have made profits.
And the interest. So the interest liability that you, if you are investing into bonds, make sure that you will get your interest till the time of maturity, and at maturity, your principal is secured and will be covered and given to the investor. You don't have to run that kind of risk. However, yes, there are risks associated with any kind of financial investment, which have been already covered. Acha, when will the NCDs be listed at the exchange? Mr. Atul Mishra, sir, the NCDs, once the issue is closed, 6 days after the closure of the issue, the NCDs will be listed on the exchange. Both BSE and NSE, the NCDs will be listed and they are tradable instruments. So if you need liquidity, you can buy as well as sell on the capital market. Yes. Will the principal amount be paid back to our bank once the time period for which we have taken the bond? Mr. Shantanu. Yes, Mr. Shantanu, the principal along with the last interest payment, if there is any applicable, or if it's selected a cumulative option, so principal along with the interest component will be credited to the bank account, which is attached to your DMAT account. So whenever you're applying, you make sure that bank account is mapped to the DMAT account. What is the max ticket size of loan from this raising? Probably what is the maximum ticket size of loan you will issue for this raising?
Our currently max ticket size is about 1.25 lakh in microfinance. Of course, we are doing some pilots in non-microfinance, which can change, but it's all in pilots.
Okay. Nivitata Ji. What is the procedure while applying the IPO through ASBA? Should we visit bank branch for any procedure or can be done online? So you can apply through India Bonds platform instead of UPI. Select ASBA mode for application and our bond manager or relationship manager will get in touch with you and assist you in submitting the application for the bidding process. Mr. Rajaramani. Dear sir, is there any possibility to change CAGL MFI into banking?
This opportunity was available since 2015. We always desisted from thinking about banking because our view is that we can do much more in microfinance, continuing the model. The regulation is supporting, the potential is quite high in rural. So our belief is that we'll continue to do microfinance. While banking is very good business, but probably we chose the path to continue as microfinance.
Mr. Prabhas is asked, what is the duration for which the loans are offered to customers?
So it is between 2 years to 3 years, or normally the main loan which is given for income generation. Whereas in case of short-term loan like education, we would have given 24, 1 year, or a medical emergency, maybe 1 year only. But those forms only about 8% of our business, whereas more than 90% of our business is either 2 year loan or the 3 year loan.
Okay. Mr. Ravnish has asked, could you please explain JLG with an example and also share any differences or similarities between JLG and co-lending?
So a joint liability group is basically a set of women, ideally around 10 to 15 women, who will form a group by themselves, right? So these are typically ladies who live close by, maybe 500, 600 kilometer radius. They jointly approach you for credit, right? So the biggest advantage in this is that all ladies basically give you a social guarantee for repayment of each other. So your first underwriting is done by this group themselves. So they choose customers whom they are very well know, whom they know very well, they live close by, they're confident that they have a business, there won't be a repayment issue. Because many times they will have to support each other in case of temporary issues in their lives, right? So your first credit equivalent structure comes in from the members itself. So JLG is basically a set of self-formed women who approach companies like us for small loans, and they guarantee each other's repayment in different points of time. Co-lending is basically something that you partner with a bank, right? Say, for example, you will see this largely in home loans, where an NBFC and a bank together underwrite an individual customer. So this is group lending, that is individual lending. And you can do microfinance also in co-lending, but it is not prevalent at this point of time.
Thank you, sir. I know that we are running short of time, but I'll just quickly, because there are queries which are still coming up. So first, Sylvester D'Souza, can NRIs invest in bonds? Yes, they can invest in bonds. Unfortunately, in a public issue format, NRIs are not allowed to invest in bonds. Mr. Utkarsh, in case of insolvency, will the NCD holders be prioritized first for payment of the principal? Does the company have sufficient assets to cover the principal amount in case of insolvency?
Yeah, I think it goes by the same first credit principle. So unsecured will be the first priority and unsecured will be the next. Equity will be the last priority.
So this are, in terms of priority table, secured investors, secured NCD holders will have the first priority or the highest priority in terms of repayment at the time of insolvency. I will run through on it. Whether Mr. Desai, Ahmedabad, whether put and call option available, no, it has been already been clarified. Put call option is not available. Govind Kumar Goel, Indore, is there any concession for senior citizens? Unfortunately, no, there are no additional coupon payment for senior citizens. It's not been qualified. Mr. Sharad from Noida, your gross loan portfolio and branch network has increased, but why active borrower count has decreased? How will you increase the customer base?
So actually the customers have increased, but unfortunately during COVID, we had to write off some of the customers because of non-payment. That's why that's a temporary reduction during FY21 and 22. So it's already in October, this year already started increasing. So we believe that this will go on increasing going forward.
Fair enough. Thank you, sir. Yes, though I am getting a lot of questions. Unfortunately, in continuation of time constraints, we have to wind up the webinar. But be rest assured, if you still have any queries, the number and email IDs are available on the screen. You can either call us or write us, and we'll be more than happy to address your queries. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure hosting
you. It was a very, very informative session, and I'm sure, along with me, the audience will also be very happy to get more insights about the company and the upcoming public issue of NCDs. Yes, this is a first-come, first-serve issue. Request you all to please subscribe as soon as possible. We have a limited time frame. Please come fast, put it in as much applications you want to. If there are any assistance required, India Bonds is there to guide and help you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone.